Blog Talk Radio.
There's something outside.
What is that?
Radio.
Welcome to Monster X Radio, listeners. This is Gunnar Monson. Last week, if you listened to the show, you heard Shane and I talk about some strange parallels between what happened at Donna and Greg's property up in Washington. And if you haven't listened to those shows, you should go back and listen to the three-part interview that Shane and Julie did with Donna about all the weird stuff from audio and visual encounters and stuff up in Washington State. And the similarities that have been experienced by our own Julie Wrench in North Carolina, close to the Uwari Forest. Julie moved there a while ago, and after getting settled in and some time had gone by, she started noticing some really strange phenomenon audio stuff. And the parallels between what Donna's situation and Julie's are pretty weird, but she's collecting audio and sharing it with David Ellis, who is vetting it and going through it and finding the weird anomalies. And let's talk with Julie about what's been going on. We've talked before, but it's an ongoing situation. And so, Julie, how are you today?
Hey, Gunnar, I'm doing pretty good. Not bad.
Out by the fire pit today or inside?
I may go out there a little bit later. It looks like it might rain a bit. And it's been raining on and off here, and the wood's damp. So we'll have to see, but I would love to get out there tonight.
So absolutely. For the folks that aren't familiar with your situation and your background and what we are talking about in this episode, can you give us a little Reader's Digest version of what you've been experiencing and how this came to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I moved here in March of 2017 from Ohio. I'm originally from this area, very close to this area. My family actually came here in 1765 from Britain and settled quite a bit of land right in what's known as the Uwari now. So, you know, I still have a lot of family in the area and wanted to get back down here to be around family. So we moved here, like I said, in March 2017. When we got here, the house had not been lived in. It's a farm, and it hadn't been lived in for over a year. And so we spent a lot of time just getting the property squared away, a lot of fence line that needed repair, working on the house, renovating the inside and outside. So I hadn't really had much time to spend sitting out by the fire pit, relaxing for quite some time when we first moved here. So finally, when I did get around to doing that, because I love the outdoors. I mean, I hate being inside a house. It drives me nuts. So I'd always build a fire out there, and I noticed that I was hearing some very strange sounds coming from my southwest, my west, my northwest quite often. And I hear it from all around, but a lot of it seemed to be coming from my west side. So I took a short video one night when I was out there, and it was a couple minutes long, and I'd been sending audio to David Ellis for quite some time for other people, you know, to include the Ohio Night Stalkers audio. That's kind of the project we were doing before all this started. He was analyzing their audio, and I was sending it to him for the guys, for Mike and Mike. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to send this to David Ellis and have him just tell me that that's coyotes or fox or, you know, something normal, you know, just to ease my mind. So I sent it over to him, and he sent me back a couple clips, and he's like, He goes, you know what, you live outside of Iwari. Would you be interested in doing an audio project with me? And so he explained to me, you know, how he and Donna and Greg did their audio project out there. So that's kind of how it started.
Well, it's
and
it's,
so we've been doing this for about a year now. We still have over 200 hours of audio to review. I recently got some software where I can do the spectrograph analysis myself. A lot of it I go through and then send to David. And before, it was all just on David. And but just within the last month or two, I began learning how to run everything through spectrograph and familiarize myself with what is normal sounds for the area, you know, like coyote, like gray fox, like bobcat, like, you know, just all the normal sounds of critters in the area. So I've been doing that, but David's still helping. He still has a lot of audio that I have from overnight recordings, you know, because a lot of times I'll set the recorder out there after I come in, and it will run 8-10 hours. And then I've sent those out to him, and you know, in the process going through a lot of the overnight stuff as we can. But yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. I'm not going to sit here and say that I have Bigfoot on my property or around my property because I have not seen one. I do know that the Iwari has had a long history of reports. And Montgomery County has the most reports taken by BFRO, just the BFRO itself, more than any other county in the state of North Carolina.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you look go to BFRO and look at North Carolina and look at all the counties and then look at Montgomery County, you'll see it's the number one county. And I knew there was a history of that in the area, you know, having heard stories from around here, people having eyewitness encounters. I kind of knew something was going on over there, but I just really wasn't thinking that, you know, my house is 17 miles from where Mike Green filmed the squeaky footage, if people are familiar with that. And that's also the area where Finding Bigfoot team came to the Iwari. That's where they went to do investigations on their show. You know, I'm just about 17 miles from all that, from ground zero.
So
it's been interesting. I sit at the fire pit normally by myself after dark. It's pretty rural out here. We have about 10 acres, and there's no houses to my north or my south. It's all just pastures out here. A cattle farm to my north, you know, not a whole lot of neighbors. Dirt road runs on the south edge of my property into a dead end. So that's kind of where it's at right now. And, you know, I have been documenting everything and going to be releasing some of the information that I find from this documentation. The dates, the weather, the moon phase, the barometer reading, You know, was it raining? For every recording that I had where things were going on, I'm keeping a documentation on different things related to what you would look for scientifically if you were tracking another type, you know, animal of any kind in the area and see when they're most active. So that's kind of what I've been doing, and I will be releasing that in a few months from now.
Well, and something we've talked about is that these things didn't start occurring the minute that you moved in. You didn't notice them right away because you were busy just getting settled into your new digs. And but you developed this habit of sitting out by the fire pit at night by yourself very frequently, and then you started to notice kind of a pattern, and over time that pattern has developed as what you see, because you notice that there's other animals that respond in association with these weird anomaly sounds that you're capturing now on audio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, what tips it off? I know exactly whether it's going to be a crazy audio-filled night or not because of the dogs. Some of the neighbors' dogs go absolutely ballistic before the noises begin, right when the sun starts going down. And there's like a pattern. A lot of times it starts to my southeast, and it'll go around to the west and up to the north. And all, you know, we got donkeys up here. We have cows. And they go absolutely off a lot of times in the mix of these sounds that's going on. I can tell you, if I'm out there and it's dead quiet, odds are there's going to be zero captures on audio. And that's just the patterns. And it's usually 3-4 nights a week when I capture some stuff on audio, and then 3-4 nights of silence. And then it starts back up again. And this so far has gone year-round, because I've been doing this for about a year now, and it doesn't, like, stop during the winter or stop during the summer or stop during the spring. It's constantly.
And that's something Shane and I were discussing on last week's show, is that why that would be. And you live in a very temperate area. You don't get, like, extreme deep snow and stuff that would drive animals from one location to another.
This winter we had no snow, and it just snowed about a week ago very briefly, but of course it didn't stick to the ground. But, you know, we don't normally get any snow here to speak of. Temperatures are usually in the 50s in the winter time, upper 40s, 50s during the day. And so, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot goes south here because we are south, you know what I mean?
Right.
But we do have, to give an idea of my location on my property, I do have creeks that run through here. There's farms, chicken farms, cow farms, a lot of fruit farms in my general area within a couple mile radius. There's peach farms, strawberry farms. We have wild berries, wild onion, wild tomato, you know, all kinds of different wild and natural vegetation and resources, you know, food sources. If you're thinking you have something like this around, you're going to have food sources. Otherwise, you know, you're kidding yourself. They need to eat.
We have other
a huge population of
deer. You have other animals in the area.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
we have a huge population of deer. We have a huge population of wild turkey. And I do know that in some areas around here, there's boar. Now, I haven't seen any evidence of them on my property since I've been here at all. But I know that and on occasion, they do appear around the area. So, you know, we do have a lot of wildlife, a lot of water sources. The property to my immediate west has a very large pond on it. And I mean, a lot of cover, a lot of forestry, just acres and acres and acres and miles of forest around here.
And a lot of that is private property that you can't just traverse. I mean, you can't to where these sounds are. Yeah.
Right. That's one of the problems it's really the problem I have. You know, people are like, well, why don't you go follow where it is? Well, first of all, it's private property. It could be a half a mile away. Where it's coming from, there's no road directly over there. It's in the middle of the woods where no road goes exactly to it, and you would have to trespass in very thick woods to get anywhere near where I'm hearing this stuff on a normal basis. And down here, people, you know, they'll shoot you in the face if they feel threatened by you if you come on their property, and they can do that. You have the right to protect yourself on your property here. People carry guns frequently. Most people have guns. If not, then they have very large dogs in their yards that I'm certainly not wanting to tangle with. So I'm kind of at a point where there's only so many areas I can go in and investigate. So what I've been
in the area where a lot of this audio is coming from is in areas that you just can't get to because of property boundaries.
Right. It's not majority of this. I don't believe it's coming from my personal property.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's off further where it's mostly wooded over there. So what I have been doing is trying to reach out to some neighbors, and that's not easy either because a lot of people live off of the road. They have, like we do, we have iron gates in the front. It's all fenced in. We keep it locked, and we have signs, you know, trespassers will be shot in the face. No, just kidding.
This actually.
But, you know, there's a lot of no trespassing. If you want to get to somebody's front door, you're going to have to climb over their fence that's locked,
mm-hmm.
literally, and walk through a yard full of maybe pit bulls, German shepherds. You know, I'm going to take one for the team, but I ain't stupid. So what I've been doing is while I'm out trying, you know, I run into town every once in a while, and if I see somebody out, I'll, you know, kind of size them up and get a feel, man, you know, I wonder if this person will think I'm nuts if I stop it. So what I did a couple weeks ago, I have stopped at other people's places and asked them if they've ever heard any odd noises, and then I'll play some audio for them. A woman to my north said she hasn't heard anything particular like that, but she's an older woman and she's not out at her fire pit after dark. She lives alone.
Mm-hmm.
But she did tell me if she heard something like that coming from the woods around her house, she'd never leave her house, you know. She told me I was crazy for sitting out there by myself in the dark. So I did ask this gentleman that's about a mile to my south. I saw him. I was heading in town. I saw him. He was standing out by the road on a cell phone. I'm like, well, if I come back and he's still out here but he's not on the phone, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask him. So I pulled up, and sure enough, he's out there, and I pulled up, and I said, hey, you been hearing any weird noises around here? And he's like, oh, you mean the drones and the helicopters? And I'm like, no. He said he has, you know, helicopters buzzing the woods back behind him. There's drones. So I don't know what's going on over there. I haven't seen them around my property at all, but he's heard them and seen some weird stuff. And I said, well, that's not really what I'm talking about. And I got my phone. I have some audio on it, and I played him some clips. And I said, no, this, I'm talking more about like this. And he was like, oh, my God. He said, yeah. He just was freaking out. He's like, oh, my God, yeah, I have heard that here. And it scared us to death. So that's how it all started. And this was just recent, like 3 weeks ago. And we'll get into that more on our next show. But, you know, in case people are wondering, well, are you checking with the neighbors? Are you doing this or that? Yes, I am. You just have to be real careful around here. You don't want people to think you're a nut job, even though most people already do. And that's okay. But, you know, I kind of keep it at a low profile, and I don't want the folks that may be hearing stuff to feel, you know, like, I'm just going to come over here, and next thing you know, there's going to be a team and TV coming, and this, because, you know, everybody remembers when Finding Bigfoot was here, and it, a lot of people didn't care for that much. So I had to be real careful, and he did invite us to come over there and look around, and we did that, and now we're going to go back for a night investigation or two over there very soon, put out some recorders. He's going to start a recording project for me, like I've been doing with David. So,
awesome.
You know,
cool.
More into that later.
Well, let's. You've got quite a bit of audio that you're wanting to share today. Where do we start? I mean, you've had a lot of stuff, and you've shared a lot of it with Shane and I in particular, and there's some really strange things that sound weird. I mean, I can't attribute to a known animal.
I think what I'll do is say the very first two clips that David sent me back from the it was an audio or a video I took of when there was a lot going on out here. I could hear the coyotes, but I was hearing something else mixed in with it, almost like a primate type sound and some growls, and it freaked me out. So I'm going to play the first two that he ever sent me. And, yeah, they're kind of like what we call the UR. We call these the URI vocals now because we don't know what else to call them. So here's the first two. Something doing that five times in a row by itself. These are looped five times, and the reason why David does that is because if you play a clip, a lot of people say, ooh, let me hear that again. So he takes time to loop it three to five times, and all these will be looped five times unless I say otherwise.
And those are isolated sounds that were picked out of a much larger, longer audio recording. Right.
All of these clips have been run through a spectrograph. David has analyzed them very carefully. They do not match. A lot of these do not match known sounds, but they match other unknown sounds that David has been collecting over the years from people doing projects like I do, but in areas where there has been definite Bigfoot sightings. You know, people have visually seen them. They're doing audio projects, kind of like Donna's house. You know, she saw one over there. So a lot of what I'm playing here matches not only by ear, but also by spectrograph to some of the same stuff that Donna and Greg captured that David worked on, as well as other places throughout the United States. So here's the second audio. If I can get it to play, hang on, it's
okay.
So those are the two that started it all.
It's a cow. It's a cow.
Oh, yeah. a very angry cow.
Yeah, I mean, a cow being squished, maybe, I don't know. But, I mean, that's a weird...
and it was unusual because those are the exact things I was hearing with my ears. And I'm like, what is that? And, you know, David's not going to say, oh, that's a Sasquatch, because we don't know what made those sounds. We didn't see what made those sounds. Obviously, he certainly can't because he's clear across the country from me. But it's suspicious. It matches other suspicious auto, you know, spectrograph signatures and sounds that he's been collecting. We do have, you know, there's some, I'm going to go ahead and play this one here. It's called Campfire Scream. Now, I heard this with my own ears when I was sitting out the fire pit alone. It was, I think, a little before 11, between 10:30 and 11. Very dark.
It's dark, yeah. It's dark.
Very dark. There was nobody around. I mean, it was dead silence for a little bit. The dogs were going off prior to that, but as far as any human activity, there was none. You know, my neighbors were all in bed. I'm sitting at the fire pit, and to my right came this sound, and I swear it was less than 200 feet away from me. But it was.
So this is one you heard.
Oh, yeah, this I heard, and I felt, too, by the way. Felt it go through me, and it literally scared me to death because it was very close. And this is the one that made me go into the house and call Shane, because I left everything sitting out there, you know.
Yeah, tell that story a little bit.
My recorder, my flashlight, you know, everything that I have out there, my phone, I left all that out there, my cell phone. I came in the house, picked up the landline, and called Shane, and I'm like, you're going outside with me to get my stuff because I'm not going back out there alone because Jeff was in Ohio, and I was here by myself. And, you know, so after I got everything in, Shane did stay on the phone with me, bless his heart. And after I got in, I uploaded the audio, and I sent that part of it to him, and he's like, holy cow, you know, he's no wonder you came in. I don't blame you. So this is what I heard, and it does not match Coyote's signature on a spectrograph analysis. What is it? I don't know, but I can tell you it was very loud, very close, and it gave me goosebumps. So here it is. It's called Campfire Screams, and it is looped 5 times.
I heard that sitting by the outside in the dark by myself, I'd probably be sprinting into the house myself.
And you know what? I got to keep it real and keep it honest. You know, I'm a pretty brave chick, you know, but I can tell you what, I did not look towards the direction it was coming from because I didn't want to see what was producing that sound. It was
And people think, well, why don't you go do this or that? You know, that, oh, if you think
I was
you're
by myself
a Bigfoot
alone
researcher.
Here.
Had
Jeff been here, I probably would have grabbed him and we tore off over there. But no, I mean, I'm crazy, but I ain't stupid. You know what I mean? Whatever that was very close and very loud and just shook. It shook me when it went through me.
And what time, you said that was like 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah, it couldn't have been any later than 11 because, you know, I was like, I need to call Shane.
That's
and I knew it wasn't late. You guys are 3 hours behind me, so I knew it wasn't late for him or I wouldn't have called him. But
that's not a human. So it's not, you know, it's not like.
No,
even
definitely.
You know, I mean, even if your neighbors are up, that's
right.
That's just something weird.
And what would be the point, you know? I mean, they don't know that I'm over here doing what I'm doing.
Well, they don't want to get shot in the face.
They don't know audio. They don't know any of that. So.
Yeah, but they're. It's unlikely they want to get shot in the face either. So.
Right. I mean, that had to have been. I swear it had to have been right on the other side of my fence.
And there's some interesting stuff that goes along with that fence and some of your buildings. Well, you say that a lot of this is recorded and you don't think the audio is on your property. it's pretty close, and some of it actually sounds like there has been in some encroachment on your property.
Yes, there has been some things that sound like, I mean, there's been, we've caught some very curious footfalls out there in the leaves, and then some things vocalized. You know, we'll play that later in a different show. But
we've
there is some
weird,
very
I mean,
strange things going on around here, I'm telling you.
And on this show, we're really just starting to scratch the surface. This is actually part one of a two-part show, and the second part is actually going to be an exclusive show because there's some stuff that you're not wanting to share in the general public. And,
right.
And that stuff because what's weird here, it gets a little, it gets increasingly weirder. And we had the same experience again with Donna, is that it was going down a rabbit hole because they had some
right.
stuff happen that got progressively stranger. And, and that sound right there is really, I mean,
that's normal compared
yeah, and you
to some other stuff that
right,
I have.
There's some stuff that you've shared that is
right. That's off the charts crazy. And as far as, you know, me going down a rabbit hole, never in a million years would I have thought that I would be capturing some of the stuff that I've captured.
What do you say? Because we've talked about this too. It's like here's a Bigfoot researcher that moves, you know, to this area, and all of a sudden, you have big quote unquote Bigfoot in your backyard.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why I kind of refrained
from wanting to go public with this, because what are the odds? Okay, I lived in Ohio. I was a part of the Monster X team before I moved here. It sounds like a tabloid thing, right? And that's what I was afraid of. I'm like, people aren't going to believe this. But, you know, the more I talked to you guys and shared stuff and talked to David, and then after I did the interview with Donna and David, you know, it's like why I want to do this now is because if anybody is listening to this and they are in Central North Carolina and they feel that they have some kind of weird stuff going around on around their property, or have been hearing some things like this, drop me an email and I will get a hold of you. Send it to monsterxradio1@gmail.com. And, you know, let me know a good number to call you, or if you want me to just contact you through email, I can do that. But that's kind of what I'm looking for, other people in this area who can, you know, maybe do another audio project with me, cooperate some of this stuff. So that's why I'm doing it at this time.
Well, and there's that one key thing, and I've come up with the phrase, the reluctant witness. And that's what I said about Donna, because that's one of those weird parallels, is when Donna first recorded the sounds she would with and started working with David Ellis, when she sent that stuff in, she just hoped he'd come back and say, well, that's a known animal. Yeah. That's a known animal. That's a coyote.
Yeah.
That's a bear. It's whatever. And you had the same, like, yeah, nobody, I don't think, experiencing that stuff and wants it to be Bigfoot, or wants it to be
exactly
the possibility that it's Bigfoot. You know,
no,
what
I,
is
you know,
it?
Because Donna saw one of these creatures. I have not.
Right. But,
so
but you
now
live in an area
to say
that,
if and when I do see one of these creatures, I'm not going to feel comfortable sitting at my fire pit anymore. See, that's kind of what I love this property. I love where I live. I'd hate to have to get the feeling that I need to move. And so,
well, you've
I'm
joked about that.
And what I'm doing right now, and
yeah,
cross that bridge when I come to it.
Yeah. And that's, and another one of the parallels is that here are two female people that are, you know, alone a lot in the scenario, and having these experiences. I mean, that I don't know if that's significant, you know, they
right,
don't, whatever, but it's weird, and it's another one of those things that make you go,
Exactly.
So what are some of the other audio oddities that you've collected.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and play some stuff here. It's one of my most interesting captures. I'm going to go ahead and play it now. And it does have what we call the Uari howl at the end of it. There's like something grunting or growling, if you will. And then it seems like there's two sources here. I'll play it now.
You're sure that's just not your rowdy drunken neighbors?
Yeah.
But I mean, really,
sure. Wait, the thing is, it sounds very similar to the campfire scream vocalizer.
Mm-hmm.
It has the same type of loud tone to it. But so that's a pretty good piece there. I find that unusual, and it has a very strange signature as well.
I can't overemphasize the importance of audio collection, the analysis
right.
of it through looking at it visually, which
exactly.
because you sit and listen to something and you know it'll creep you out sitting in the dark listening to noises, and our minds will play tricks, but when you sit and look at it visually and compare it to other known animal sounds, you can tell if it fits in that range or not. And that's
mm-hmm.
what David has become very proficient at. And
yeah.
And
bless his heart. I mean, he spent hours and
mm-hmm.
hours going through this stuff. And I had no clue until I started doing this myself. And I'm like, I take back every time I asked you, are you getting to that yet? Are you getting to that? That's a lot of work. And he's like, I told you, once you start seeing it in spectrograph, it opens up a whole new world to you. And it sure did.
So on
another one that I found very interesting. This it sounds as well like there's two sources going back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that sounded like a bark, almost like a sharp
I know.
Response, a long drawn out. And some of these things are familiar because I've in our Tillamook Forest area, we've heard a lot of vocalization of unknown origin, and some of the stuff brings back like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar, stuff we've heard out in that area as well. And we've had a couple of our team members that have had visual encounters during the time that we've been out there. And it's
right. And I've had other people have shared this with say that, yeah, we caught some stuff like that in an area we were investigating as well. So.
Well, you've now dialed in with some folks that have been there researching the Uwari and surrounding areas for quite some time. And in fact, in exclusive, you shared some interviews with your team members there. What's the name of that organization, and where can people find? They have a YouTube channel, I know now. Where can people find that?
On YouTube, it's Carolina Cryptid Field Research, and it includes myself, David Pardue, Terry Wendell, Matt Hooper, and Jeff. Now, David and Matt and Terry have been here and investigated a few times on our property, probably four times now. They witnessed something slapping the hell out of this shed that is actually on my property. On the back side of the shed is not my property. It's the neighbor's property over here, that is a vacant. It's vacant right now. Somebody purchased it, but they will not be moving in for 2 to 4 years. So, you know, that they heard that out there. And David Pardue has been investigating the Uwari for 10 years, and he's had some very unusual encounters over there. A lot of crazy stuff's happened over there. You know, he's just had a lot of experiences over there. He has spent thousands of hours in the Uwari forest in a tent listening. He's seen these creatures. He's photographed them. And he's just a wealth of information. I mean, him and Terry, they've been doing this together. I think Terry's been a part of the team with David for 6 years. And Matt and I are the newbies. But, yeah, I mean, and David's like, yep, we've heard that over in the Uwari. So, you know, and again, I'm only 17 miles from Ground Zero where the same type of sounds are being recorded over there.
So and there's been visual encounters that they've had, and that makes it, to me, more interesting yet, that there's some corroborating evidence, and they've also recorded similar sounds.
Right. Yes.
So it isn't, I mean, this is not like you heard something and you ran through the internet and posted and said, look, I heard Bigfoot. Bigfoot's right here, right now. I mean,
I've been
doing this
a year, and I've sent some audio to some people and asked them, please don't share. And, you know, a lot of the response I get back is, wow, I'm not sure what that is. That sounds very primate. That sounds like what we've recorded in a particular area where we have seen them. You know, so I've got a lot of feedback on these clips. And you have to remember, I have close to 300 clips now of interest. These are just some of my favorites.
And there's some that, like you said, aren't going to be shared publicly. They'll be inside a show that we're planning on doing for exclusive, just because there's some things that are a little weirder that you're not comfortable sharing with the general public. I mean, that's one of the things I've ran into with Bigfoot researchers is sometimes stuff gets held on to because they don't want to deal with the response of basically the hecklers or the scoffdicks or, you know, and I don't mind answering questions about evidence. But you get bombarded with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that you know, when something gets out public sometimes. And and it inside exclusive, it's a more select group of people that you can answer their questions and stuff, but you're not dealing with that general public scofticism. And
right.
Like you said, you've not drawn a conclusion that what you record, any of these are Bigfoot. but these are sounds that are happening on a regular occurrence in within close proximity to where you live that you're able to record, and then are going through this process of analyzing all this audio. And like you said, these have come from hundreds and hundreds of hours of recording. It's not that every night something happens. And it sounded like you alluded to earlier, is that there's periods of time where nothing happens at all.
Right.
And exactly. Donna experienced the same thing, where there were, you know, there would be weeks where just about the time she thought that whatever it was had gone away, it would start up again.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? I mean, I think you've got something that moves within a territory, and they don't stay, you know, one place forever. They move around, just like other animals, cougars and bears and deer and elk and whatever.
Yeah, would make sense. And we don't know much about these creatures, if it is indeed these creatures that are making any of these sounds. Obviously.
Right.
So, but I'm going to go ahead and play some more audio here before we run out of time.
Do you have the building slap you were talking about?
Yeah.
Because that was pretty profound.
This one is when I was sitting at the fire pit again by myself, and I heard something hit the building three times. It was like boom, boom, boom. There was a pattern to it. The recorder was probably, and this shed is about 50, 60 feet from my back deck. So that's where the recorder was sitting, on the back deck. You'll hear it, and then I come over close to the recorder, and I say, I just heard something. I came over there in the dark, and then I stood there for a little bit, listened. I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything walk off. I didn't hear anything walk up. It was really odd. It was a very strange feeling that I had. I took my flashlight and kind of skimmed around over there best I could. But, you know, you're talking, this building is probably, 20 feet long, 30 feet long, something like that. And on the back side of it is not my property. There's a fence line there. And, you know, I can't just run behind the shed and look. There's only a little bit of area behind the shed. I can't access it. There's so much stuff overgrown back there until you get on the other side of the property. And to get back there, I have to go way down, probably, I couldn't even, 600 feet of fence to where the gate is to try to get in and go over there. But this is what happened. I heard this with my ear, and I came over, and this is the first one. We've had several, and I'll be playing this on another show, of course, when we have more time, but here's that event.
I just heard a loud banging from over here. I'm sure that was caught on tape there. Or recording, rather. I'm not saying anything, but it sounded kind of like something hit the top of this outbarn thing we have over here. It's got a metal roof.
Pretty loud.
Yeah, and that, you talk about going in, and the idea of going out in the dark when you just heard something hit this building really loud. I mean, that most people are not going to run out into the dark to go see what just smacked their building that loud.
Yeah, I mean especially when I'm alone.
I don't care who you are. I mean, that's,
yeah,
most people are.
But I did go over there near it. I mean, that's a start, right? I did go over there and look. I didn't sit there in the chair and freak out. I didn't yell. I didn't run in the house that time. So I did go over and investigate. But one thing that David Pardew did tell me was a lot of times the creatures in this area, for whatever reason, they will go down on all fours, or they belly crawl quite a bit. They've seen that quite a bit.
See, and they've had multiple sightings in there in –
yeah.
In the same general, I mean, in the Yowari or surrounding areas, that and they've
yeah,
been
they
doing
have
this
of these
for quite a while.
Going down on all fours, being on their stomach, crawling through the grass, watching them. Yeah.
And that's
lovely.
That's interesting. I mean, that's kind of military. You know,
yes,
the army man
absolutely.
Come in and
exactly.
And we have a tendency when we're looking for something to look up, especially when we think we're looking for something that's 8 feet, 9 feet tall, you know, and we don't think about them being down on the ground. I think that also explains sometimes why footprints aren't found in association with certain events, because we're looking for a footprint and they're not on their feet. And we might, you know, we're looking at a disturbance on the ground that looks nothing like a footprint.
And how do we know what the tracks look like of these things on all fours? Because we don't have any evidence of what it looks like if these things are running on all fours. So there's nothing to compare it to, just some ground disturbance. But the ground around here is really not that conducive to tracks for the most part. The Uari Mountains is one of the most ancient mountain ranges in all of North America. It used to be 20,000 feet tall. What's left here is a lot of rock outcrops, quartz. The ground is very hard, full of rocks and quartz. So it's not like the best material to try to find tracks in.
So we're actually getting close to running out of time. This kind of stuff is fascinating. We could talk. This could be a 4-hour show. Is there any other audio that you want to share and we can discuss before we run out?
Yeah, there is here. And if we go over a little bit from the hour, that's fine with me. But I did want to get some more of this in here. This one is called Humming Sounds, and it's I'm not sure what this is. Here's a vocalization, and this one is not looped. This is one straight, long vocalization here.
Question that comes to mind is, so are these amplified at all? Is the audio been are these being picked out of pieces and then amplified for better for hearing, or is that what you're hearing on the recorder?
Some of them David will clean up and get rid of the background noise, because it depends on the season here, but we have tons and tons of different kind of frogs that go on all night long, and he tries to take some of that out. You know, he doesn't typically amplify, if you will, the sound, but what he does is he tries to get some of the background noise out of it.
So it's cleaned up so that you can hear it better.
Yeah, some of it's cleaned up more so than others to bring out the sound, depending on what all is happening at the same time.
So in proximity to where your property is, how far away from the source, the recorder, to where these things are being recorded in general, do you think we're talking about?
Well,
within a mile,
I know that David said that the type of recorder that I'm using can capture things up to a mile away easily. So, you know, sometimes
and by your
you can tell
ear, you've heard
closer
things
than other
really
times.
Close. Yeah, and
what's
by
that?
your what you've heard live, you've heard something really close, and you've also heard things distant. I mean, they're not just hanging out in your on your property. You hear varying distances.
Exactly. Varying distances and in different locations.
Yeah.
I've got it from all different directions. All right, here's one called Percussive Sounds and Voice. power screams. And David's named most of the stuff because of what he's, you know, familiar with over the years. There's, he doesn't just come up. He doesn't pull these names out of the air. He uses different categories.
Mm-hmm. Things from his previous experience.
Right, things that he's already analyzed and from different areas.
Why haven't you just sent up your drone with its night vision camera on there and gotten pictures of what's making these sounds?
Well, now, see, we are working on that. we do have a drone. Jeff is learning how to use that. You have to kind of be careful with that as well. You know, you can't be infringing on other people's privacy, so...
Yeah, you can't
but that
fly
is
over
something
we're
working
them.
On.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
And that's there are limitations. People think, well, why don't you do this or that? It's because there's, first of all,
and you cannot use it over in the URI either, the drone. You can't use it in the URI.
And that's because it makes Bigfoot pads.
Right. They don't want you to know. No. Here's one called Power Strike. I do get a lot of percussive sounds. I get what some people would call wood knocks. I get that a lot. Rock clack type sounds, banging on tin roofs, banging on things. I get that, especially between the hours of 1 and 3, I've noticed so far, is when a lot of those type noises happen.
Well, we've got a lot of more ground to cover with this. And like you said, there's some really strange things that have and these have happened more recently, which is interesting because in the case of Donna's property, some of her things became more weird as things went on. The longer that they were there, they had, you know, I would suggest you go back and listen to those shows if you haven't listened to them yet.
Yeah, it's on the Monster X Blog Talk archive. It's what was it, three of them? We did three or two.
Yeah, there were. No, there were three.
Three,
so,
that's right.
And
it was the Donna Show, part 1, 2, and 3.
Now, this
you
show,
want to go
we're,
back and look at that.
This show is the introduction to what the update of what's been going on in your property. The next show part of this will take place inside exclusive. It's just our next exclusive show, which will be this coming Wednesday. We're gonna dive deeper into the rabbit hole. Is there anything else? We're just about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to cover before we wrap this up?
Let me just play a couple more audio here. This one, let's see if I can find where it went. Crow Talker. This one's called A Lot Going On Here. And I don't know if this one's looped or not. I can't recall, but I'm going to go ahead and play it.
It almost sounds like chimps going off at the zoo, and then there's some loud.
I mean, there's obvious
there's some
dog
loud
barking
roar.
In that. Obviously,
also that
but
loud roar in there. That
exactly.
Is
thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like
yeah.
to know. And that was one of those I was out there and heard it with my own ears kind of thing.
mm-hmm.
the dark. Here's another one called, this is sounds kind of a primate sound as well. And I'll go ahead and finish with this one. It's called, this is what, the first one that we called the Uari vocal, because this one seems to show up, whatever's making this particular sound shows up different times of night, different areas, but this is how we came up with the Uari vocals, is this particular one.
Weird stuff, and you're and you still go out and sit by your fire pit in the dark by yourself.
Yes, I do, as often as I can. Call
so,
me crazy, but the reason why I do that is because I've been told that, you know, they could be watching me, they could become familiar with me and comfortable with me. I do have a night vision camera that I have out there with me as well. On the ready, and a lot of times I'll just set it on the tripod in a particular direction that I've heard sounds coming from and just let it run. So, you know, my goal is maybe I can get something on my night vision at some point to go along with what I've been hearing. So, but again, you could show that to a million people and they'd be like, oh, that's somebody in a costume. So, you know, you're in a...
Right. Well, you
can't win.
But you, the thing is,
but
you're not doing
it for
everybody.
For me, it's what I would like
everybody.
To see, you know, for myself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Right. And that, there, like you said, there's, this is an ongoing project. There's, you haven't determined any conclusions as far as what
no.
the source of these. We just know that they match a lot of other unknown vocals that we put in the suspicious bin that David Ellis has collected from various locations. And when you initially started working with David, he said, aha, those things sound like it sound, those sound familiar. I've had experiences with similar sounds in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those associated with Bigfoot activity. I mean, with visual sightings, footprints,
right.
You know,
actual
other
seeing these things, you know, like
right.
Donna's property. And,
yeah.
You know, he's like, how would you like to do an audio project? I was
like, no, you're
well,
supposed
what
to tell me that was...
stuff? So yeah. Then, you know, he talked me through how everything's you know, supposed to work and how much you need to take and how often. And it's pretty much whenever I can. I leave that recorder on there when I come in. Or if I'm not out at all that for that night for whatever reason, but I'm home,
mm-hmm.
I'll put it out there and then bring it in the next morning.
So, and we'll talk about... get deeper into what kind of patterns you're seeing and all the, we'll go cover the rest of these vocals in our exclusive show that we'll be doing for, that will be coming out on this following Wednesday. So,
right.
Julia,
and one thing I do want to say is if
mm-hmm.
somebody out there is hearing this and they think they know what it is and it is not one of these creatures, if you could please send me the clip with your spectrograph findings again to our email, monsterxradio1@gmail.com, so I can take a look at it and compare. I'd appreciate, you know, I'm being transparent here. I'm willing to listen to people's input. I just want answers.
Yeah, so and that, again, if you have recorded an owl making some of these sounds and have a visually identified it as or some other animal and have audio recordings, even if you don't have the spectrograph, you can send it and we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, that's
right.
Correct.
So
I am absolutely open to people's critique. Just remember, all of this has been scientifically analyzed with a spectrograph by somebody that's been doing it for 10 years. So it's not just, hey, we heard some weird sound, this could be Bigfoot. You know, we're way beyond that. This is a scientific project that we're using software that will let you know, is this a known that you've heard before, compare it to this, compare it to that, and then you roll things out that way. So
it's, and there is a database.
Saying, wow, I heard some weird noises, you know, I'm getting a lot of confirmation from other folks. And some people that have heard my audio that we're going to be playing for the next show have gotten absolute goosebumps from head to toe and have said no way would they be able to live where I live. And I'll just leave it at that.
And again, there is a master library of sounds called the Macaulay Library, and
mm-hmm.
That is being utilized to compare
correct
these audio to known sounds, and that's been done before. It's been put into the suspicious pile. So hundreds of clips of, I mean, it's interesting. You're building this huge database, and it's an ongoing, and it, to me, it's fascinating because it was like, I got nothing. I don't know what that is. And some of the stuff you're going to hear in, if you haven't signed up for exclusive, I would suggest that you do if you want to hear the really weird stuff that we're going to share in just a few days. Julie, I appreciate you taking the time to, first of all, for the endeavor that you're doing and recording these sounds and stuff and for sitting down and sharing with and going over with me here today for our Monster X listeners. So for Julie Wrench, this is Gunnar Monson, Monster X Radio. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you soon.